At the first glance, there's nothing extraordinary about the place. Just another narrow, winding street in Istanbul. Only this one sharply slopes down to the Bosphorus, which divides Europe from Asia. From where I stand, I can see that band of water in the distance, a shimmering silver. At the top of the street, nearly hidden behind a green iron fence, stands an ageless tomb. It is the tomb of the saint who protects the street against all evil. Yet, given the street's history, I tend to think this is a saint that has been sleeping on the job. Or perhaps he isn't sleeping. After all, his tombstone is written in the Ottoman script, long ago banished by the engineers of the modern Turkish state in favor of the Western alphabet. Today, this society cannot read its grandfather's tombstones. Perhaps the patron saint has simply been trying to convey a message from the past, but in a script the new generations can no longer understand. Our conversation with the past has been broken, but our history, our stories lie here, in the layers just beneath our feet. As a storyteller, it is my job to collect them. Right across from the saint stands a small grocery. The owner of the place is a slim, balding man in his 60s. Mehmet is here every day, from early morning till dusk. After dark, his son takes the shift. You can find almost everything here, from pomegranates to laundry detergents, from candy bars to alcohol, which some conservative grocers refuse to sell. Everyone on Kazancı stops by this little store to buy bread and cigarettes, tea and cheese, and the daily papers, ranging from far left to far right.
This grocery is open 24 hours. I don't sell much during the day, but at night I sell more. Bread during the day, beer at night.
Other than the usual customers, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, the grocer also serves the Russian and Moldavian working girls living in the grimy hotel up the street.
I treat the same, a child or adult. Someone doesn't have enough money to pay for something. I feel bad and I usually don't ask. Someone says I'm hungry, I give bread. And my kids get angry at me.
He even cares for the street's army of cats, some incredibly majestic, some so miserable.
My children say, "Why are you so sentimental, easy to exploit? Don't believe in anyone, but my heart."
The grocer's heart remembers, even though we are all encouraged to forget. The grocer and I, we look outside to a cascading rain. Water gushes down in a river toward the Bosphorus. Sometimes I think of my old street as a boat traveling through time, a street boat expelling its passengers every few years, only to take on new ones who have no memory of the past. The water streams as if to remind us of how easily things can be washed away on Kazancı. But it's not only rainwater that has been pushed down this steep street throughout its history.
On the 6th of September, there was a nationalist uprising, 1955.
50 years ago, the street was populated by Turks, Jews, Armenians, and Greeks. In 1955, throngs of Turkish nationalists gathered here, chanting slogans and anthems before they razed to the ground virtually every store operated by ethnic minorities. There was so much shattered glass all around that the whole neighborhood glittered like a mirror in the sun. On that day, some among the mob dragged out the newly introduced pasty white rounded refrigerators and rolled them one by one all the way down our street, cheering with the fall and crash of each machine.
There were wheels of cheese. They rolled it down the street. Because the grocer was Greek, they took his cheese and rolled it down the street. Of all Turkey's neighbors, the Greeks are my favorite. Yes, I am sad. We are sad because we were so fond of them. Also, as a grocer, I was very fond of them. They were good customers. They know quality. The Greeks, they like artichokes a lot. Half of our customers were Greeks and Armenians. They were afraid to stay here. They left Turkey.
Once in a while in my dreams, I see refrigerators spinning down our street. Only those make no noise, do not tumble. Instead, they float light as a feather along a serene river of rainfall. They slither along until they finally disappear in front of my eyes. They are thrown out, just like the old residents of this street boat. Farther along the street of cauldron makers, a few steps closer to the sea and a few doors below the grocer, is my old tailor, Hussein. While he stitches up a ragged old pant leg, the tailor remembers by name the many families forced to leave the street.
Niko vardı mesela. Şu emek apartmanın sahiplerindendi yani.
There was this family that owned the Emek apartment building, for instance, and the family of Niko. After his father died, Niko moved to Greece.
Fotoğraf falan böyle çeken arkadaş vardı, Yunanistan'a gitmişti.
One friend was a photographer. He went to Greece. He told me he saw a Greek in a hotel over there who was from here. He told me when he saw me, he started crying and embraced me, saying, I miss Istanbul so much. There are things like that, stories like that.
But every departure leaves behind a witness.
Okay, this is 35, 35, 20. If you like this, I can put the glue here. I mean, whichever you like.
In another part of Istanbul, inside the Grand Bazaar, this is Nick, an Armenian jeweler whose family was pushed off the street of cauldron makers. He grew up hearing all about the events of 1955.
Those days was very terrible. Lots of shops are broken, you know, and people were coming like hundreds by hundreds, you know, and they were just like animals. They were crazy. They're breaking everywhere. And everybody was in panic, big panic.
He goes to America very often, as he has relatives and business partners in California. He sells pastırma, a kind of spicy pastrami so dear to both Turks and Armenians. I ask him, despite all this that happened, why hasn't he wanted to leave Turkey? Why hasn't he settled in America or elsewhere?
I can, any time I can leave this country, go to America. All my relatives, cousins, all friends are there. And each time I go to America, they keep asking me when I'm going to move. And I think I'll never move this country. Sometimes they, when they hear my name, they say, are you Armenian? Yes. When did you come? I said, I was here before you come. We are here since 3,000 years.
The ethnic minorities weren't the only ones our street boat disgorged. During the 1970s, the street of cauldron makers became notorious for its cluster of Sami residents, Istanbul's underbelly of drug dealers, pimps, and transvestite prostitutes. They used to live here, all of them, in the flats where, later, we would live. This used to be their street. Now, only a few remain and remember.
İyi akşamlar. Biz
I stand in a dimly lit hallway as Madame Turkian opens her door and invites me to her house. She has sharp, dark eyes full of vim. Madame Turkian lives in a dingy basement room with bare walls and meager furnishings. Six other transvestites, much younger, sit on their haunches and listen to her respectfully. Turkian has been living on the street for more than 30 years. She knows its stories. She blames the transvestites themselves for their expulsion from the street.
We should behave well, I told them. We shouldn't lose these houses. But they didn't behave well. They kept on showing their bodies in the windows. So they were kicked out of those houses.
Istanbul police broke down doors and forced them out. Those who resisted were beaten with hoses.
They were kicked out of those houses, onto the street. And on the streets, they had to hitchhike. They began to do prostitution on the roadsides.
Many began doing business on the highways, only to make the inside pages of Turkish newspapers when killed in hit-and-run accidents. During the years to follow, our street boat took on yet another group of passengers. With the collapse of the Soviet Union, a large number of jobless people, especially women, found their way to Kazancı from Russia, Ukraine, Romania, Moldavia. Some were transients. Others came to stay, working as dancers in glitzy nightclubs. The flow of women from the ex-Soviet Union coincided with the flow of students from Central and North Africa. And this went hand in hand with migration from the little towns in the province of Anatolia, coming to the big city for better jobs and living standards. I now stand at the end of Kazancı, near the bottom of the street and its second grocery store. Here, there are no beer cans, no rakı, the Turkish brandy. This is Gülsüm, the conservative grocer. She's from Anatolia too.
I don't get out and encounter other people much. The ones I do see, the ones I talk to are fine. There is no problem with them, thanks be to God. Since I don't go anywhere else, I don't know. I just go from here to home each day.
The differences between ethnic, religious or sexual minorities have been sharply drawn throughout the history of the street of cauldron makers. And yet, there came a time when such differences entirely lost their meaning. The night of the earthquake in the summer of 1999.
That night, God forbid it should happen again. We were sleeping. We must have woken up with the noise and the shaking. There was a bright red thing, like a flame, like fire.
Only on that night, only when there were survivors in a shared misfortune, did the conservative grocer on Kazancı offer a cigarette to an aging transvestite and an old Greek neighbor, and they all smoked their cigarettes together. Even so, the very next day, the ground had settled again and old boundaries were quickly redrawn.
Because you can't get along with everyone. Some people have lost themselves. You can't be close to whoever you meet. Allah will not come to them. That's the way it is.
Yani böyle. That's the way it is. Thus they and their stories came and went. The Armenians, the Greeks, the transvestites, the Africans, the Russian working girls. All these people seem to have but one thing in common. All have been fleeting passengers of the street of cauldron makers. And then, in the late 1990s, artists, musicians, bohemians, activists, feminists boarded our street boat, carrying a new set of stories. I came here around the same time. I'm inside a coffee house on Kazancı. Coffee houses have always been important in Ottoman Turkish history as the centers of social gathering, strong coffee, and political dissent. At one table, I noticed a hippie-like woman playing dominoes alongside Kurdish revolutionaries and the pizza boy. These new groups are open-minded, critical, and they have the will to coexist in a way their grandfathers didn't. They only know Kazancı as it is today. Their eyes are fixed on the future. Outside again, in the sudden silence that envelops the street, I breathe in the smell that follows a torrent of rain. In such a moment of quiet, I can better hear the uproar of the city beyond the street of cauldron makers. The sirens, the horns of cars stuck in traffic, the profanities and the prayers. I wrote a novel here on Kazancı. It was about layers upon layers of stories and the dispossessed history of Istanbul. It was this street that inspired me to write this story. On the fringes of the book is an old woman who secretly collects the artifacts that the other residents are so eager to discard. Sometimes I liken my writing to walking on a pile of rubble. Atop the pile I stop and listen for the sounds of breathing amid the stones. Perhaps this is what the saint at the top of the street was trying to tell us. Look to the stories beneath your feet.